You are listening to By the Book, because if you don't look at the world through the Bible, you will never see it right.
Welcome to By the Book. This is Alan Griffith, your host for episode 128. We are thrilled that you are listening. We hope you are telling others about the podcast. We are always excited when somebody tells us that they are listening every week, or many times they'll say, I need to catch up, but I'm listening. So we are thrilled that you are listening, and we pray that the messages and challenges of By the Book will be a blessing to you and an encouragement to you, because without apology, we try to present the truth of God's Word. And as we say, if you don't see the world through the Bible, if you don't look at the world and all the aspects of the world through the Bible, you will never see it right. You'll never see the world right. You'll never see life right. And so, again, welcome. Glad you are listening today. I want to speak in this episode on prayer and the prayer meeting. We're going to include both. But I want you to think with me at the outset of true prayer. How are we supposed to pray? And I want to be careful when I talk about it, because I believe that God is very gracious. I believe He is very understanding. I believe He is forbearing. He puts up with us when we function in sometimes our laziness or in our ignorance. I'm glad He looks at the heart rather than necessarily our words, our actions. I mean, He sees beneath that. He wants us to do right, to be sure. But I say all that because prayer, and that's what we're getting into here, is a delicate issue, and I don't want to hurt somebody when I talk about it. But at the same time, it is important that you and I seek to understand what the Bible teaches, and when we find out what it says, that we do what it teaches. We do what it says. And when it comes to prayer, I fear that we have become sloppy and casual. Now, I may have spoken on prayer before. I didn't take time to go back and check the records or whatever. But if I have, then you're getting a double dose, because it's on my heart today. True prayer. What is it? What's happening? True prayer is when a person talks to the Heavenly Father. Now, every person needs to be born again. And we get born again by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we are born again, among other things that happen to us, we are born into the family of God. Now, if you've never been born again, you're not a child of God. I hear people say, well, we're all children of God. No, we're not. No, we're not. This world is lost. People are children of the devil. They belong to him. You have to be born again to be a child of God. And you don't get born again by going to church. You don't get born again by being baptized. You get born again by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And once you are born again and you are the child of God, you have the Father as your heavenly Father. And prayer is when you are speaking to your heavenly Father. That's prayer. That's what prayer is supposed to be. Now, you might remember, and we're not going to take time to turn there, but in Luke 11, the disciples of the Lord Jesus asked him to teach them to pray. They said, Lord, teach us to pray the way John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray. And the Lord Jesus gave them what is commonly called the Lord's Prayer. In Matthew chapter 6, that teaching of prayer by the Lord Jesus is given. It's given in the context of praying and seeking God. And either one of those passages would be worth your attention. But I want to emphasize this, and I should say that prayer is not a prayer that should be repeated vainly, just going through the motions, just saying words. The Lord Jesus was teaching the principles of prayer and the manner of prayer, but in the very verse before he started his discussion in Matthew 6, the seventh verse, he warned about vain repetition. And I might be confessing my sin, but growing up as a Roman Catholic and an altar boy, I vainly repeated prayers. And the prayer we call the Lord's Prayer was one that I vainly repeated. I just went through the words. The one thing, however, that we need to understand and focus on in this discussion is that when the Lord Jesus said he was going to teach his disciples to pray, he said, here is how you pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He said, pray to the Father. Pray to the Father. At a later time, and we're going to look at a text here in a few moments, he made it very, very clear that the experience of prayer is the believer talking to the Heavenly Father and coming to the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus. In other words, the Lord Jesus is our access to the Father. The Lord Jesus is our way to get to the Father who sits on his throne in heaven. We approach the Father in prayer. That's who we talk to, but we pray in Jesus' name. I'm going to come back to that in a moment. The third element in our prayer experience is laid out very clearly in Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27, and we are not going to take time to explore that in this episode, but there we are told of the intercessory work of the Holy Spirit. Now, you may know that the Lord Jesus intercedes for us. That's brought out clearly in the book of Hebrews. The intercession of the Holy Spirit and the intercession of the Lord Jesus are two different things. The intercession of the Lord Jesus, he ever lives to make intercession for us. In other words, he is forever before the Father on our behalf, applying, if you will, the value of what he did on Calvary to our sinful life and our sinful ways. And that's part of the reason why you can never lose your salvation, because the Lord Jesus is before the Father as an advocate for us. We cannot be lost. Praise the Lord for that. There he is in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. Hallelujah for that. Hope you're saved. I hope you're sure. And praise the Lord, you can't be lost. Now, the Spirit of God intercedes for us. We see that in the Romans passage. But his intercession for us is specifically with regard to our praying. Because as that text says, we often don't know how to pray. We don't know what to pray. There are burdens that I have right now for people, and I'm praying for them, but the truth is I don't even know what to ask for. I don't know what needs to happen to solve their problem or whatever else it might be, to deal with their sickness. And so the Spirit of God steps into our prayer experience and in essence says, I will take the burden of your heart. I will take your words as a reflection of your heart, and I'll take that and lay that before the Father. And I will lay it before him in accordance with his will. What a wonderful blessing for us. What a wonderful blessing for us. Now, I want to emphasize this truth. Prayer, as taught by the Lord Jesus and as taught elsewhere in Scripture, our prayer experience is to pray, to talk to the Heavenly Father, and we offer our prayers and we make our petitions and we offer our praises in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus was talking more about salvation than prayer, but the principle is laid out in John chapter 14. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And listen to it. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Listen, that's for salvation, and that's the prayer experience. It is in the name of the Lord Jesus that we can step before the throne of the Father and speak to him. I want to be careful. We are not taught in Scripture to pray to the Lord Jesus. There's this thing on TV right now, this guy who played Jesus in some movie or something. And there he is, I think the ministry or whatever is called Hallow. And there he is, and he's going to pray and teach us to pray. Now listen to what he says, and again, I want to be careful, but I want you to think about it. He begins his prayer by saying, dear Jesus, and he goes on and prays. When he finishes his prayer, he says, in Jesus' name, amen. Now again, I just want you to think about it. Does it make any sense to pray, dear Jesus, you're talking to Jesus, and then when you finish, you're saying, in Jesus' name, dear Jesus, I'm talking to you in your name. It doesn't make any sense. And it doesn't make any sense because it is not in harmony with Scripture. You and I need to deepen our relationship with our Heavenly Father. The Lord Jesus came to this earth and died for us that we might be reconciled to the Father, that we might get this relationship of being the child of the Father. And how incredible it is that you and I can bow our head at any time, in any place, and we can talk directly to our Heavenly Father. Now, I have my Bible opened to John chapter 16, where the Lord Jesus is speaking and teaching in anticipation of his arrest, trial, death, resurrection, etc. These few chapters, John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, these are all recording the night of ministry to the disciples by the Lord Jesus. And he lets them know that he's leaving. He lets them know that he is going to go to the Father. We find that in John 16, in verse 16. He said, a little while, and you shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. We jump over to verse 28 for a moment. He said, I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. Now, that's where the Lord Jesus is right now. He is with the Father. Now, I want to pick up in verse 23. If you don't have your Bible open, you're in a car or whatever it might be, I hope you'll come back to this text. I want you to read it. I want you to believe it. I want you to let it soak in, because you and I need to do things the way the Bible teaches us. So in verse 23 of John 16, the Lord Jesus, talking to his disciples, said this, "And in that day is the day he is not here anymore, he goes to be with the Father. He said, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing." Now, do you believe that? Do you believe that? The Lord Jesus said, in that day, I'm going to the Father. In that day, you won't ask me anything. Now listen, the verse goes on. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you." Here he is talking to his disciples, knowing he's going to be arrested that night, and then he's going to that cross and eventually rise from the dead, ascend into heaven. And he's saying to these men who've been walking with him these few years, he's been teaching them, and he says, now listen, listen, when I leave you and I go to heaven, I go to be with my Father, you're not going to ask me, you're not going to be praying to me, you're going to pray to the Father. And really preparing them for the incredible ministry of the start of the church and such, he said, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. He'll give it to you. Now, verse 24. He said, hitherto, that means up to now, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Well, why hadn't they asked anything in his name? Because they were talking to him directly. And anything they needed, they were asking the Lord Jesus for it. And so he says, in essence, all this time you've been with me, you haven't asked anything in my name. Hitherto, again, verse 24, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Then he says this, ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. You haven't asked in my name? Ask. Ask in my name. That's what he's telling his disciples. Again, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Now he goes on. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. There were many things the Lord Jesus taught the disciples that they did not understand. He spoke in parables, and there were some things that he did not fully make known to them. They did not fully grasp it. So he said, these things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. He said, the time is going to come. And the Lord Jesus had an incredible ministry with his disciples between his resurrection and his ascension. For a 40-day period, he met with them and he taught them and he opened up their eyes and their minds and their hearts, and they got hold of this truth. I'll show you plainly of the Father. I'll teach you about the Father. Verse 26. He said, at that day, ye shall ask in my name. He said, when I go to heaven, he said, you're going to ask in my name. Listen, don't you miss that. Don't you miss that. Because this is the day, this is the time that you and I are to ask the Father in Jesus' name. Now listen to this interesting statement as he goes on in verse 26. He says, "And I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you." He's saying, I'm telling you this, that when I get to heaven and you pray, I am not going to pray the Father for you. By the way, nobody else does that either in heaven. You got people, as you know, who pray to Mary, which I did before I was saved 60 years ago, praying to the saints. They can't do you any good. That's not the message of the Bible. And even the Lord Jesus himself said, in that day when I am there in heaven, I am not going to be praying the Father for you. Why? Verse 27. I love this. Listen to it. "For the Father himself loveth you." Don't miss that. Don't miss that. Don't take that lightly. Don't misunderstand what's happening here. The Lord Jesus says, when I get to heaven, you're going to talk to the Father, and you're going to talk to him in my name, and I am not going to talk to him on your behalf. You're going to talk to him personally, and here's why. Because the Father himself loves you. Don't miss the relationship, the fellowship that has been designed for you as the child of God. Don't miss that. He says, the Father himself loveth you. And then he goes on. He says, because you have loved me. There again, how precious. The Father loves you because you love me. And then he says, and have believed that I came out from God. Those disciples came to understand that. They believed that precious, precious truth. The Lord Jesus was the Son of God. Yes, he was God the Son. But as the Son of God, he came from the Father. And the world, the unsaved, didn't believe that. They mocked that. They rejected that. But the Lord Jesus says to his disciples, you believed that. And because you believe me and you love me, the Father loves you. You can talk to him. You can bow your head and say, Heavenly Father. And immediately you are ushered in to the throne room of God, and he's ready to listen. Now, I want to go back for a moment to an earlier teaching of the Lord Jesus from Luke chapter 18. It says this, "And he," the Lord Jesus, "spake a parable unto them," unto his disciples, "to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." What's he saying? Pray, 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 don't quit. And then he gives an illustration, verse 2, saying, here are the words of the Lord Jesus, "There was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary." So here is the judge. Here comes the widow, who, being a widow, has no authority, no power, probably no money, no basis for appeal. All she could do was come to the judge and say, Avenge me of mine adversary. And verse 4 says, and he would not for a while. But afterward, he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man. In other words, here was a judge who didn't care. He didn't care about God. He didn't care about this lady. Verse 5 says, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her. Now, don't miss that parable. Don't miss that message. Don't confuse it. See it for what it is. In the parable, the judge said this. Basically, I don't care, but this lady won't leave me alone. And so I'm going to avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Verse 6, the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. In other words, do you see what happened there with that judge? And he said, and shall not God who does care, God who loves us, shall not God avenge his own elect, his own children, his own family, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. What a challenge that is. What is that message? Pray. 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 Keep on praying. Don't stop praying. Let me turn to Ephesians 3 and verse 20, one of my favorite verses with regard to prayer. Listen to it. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now, in other places in Scripture, we have the testimony God can do anything. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No. With man, things are impossible. With God, all things are possible. Believe it. Believe it. God is a God of omnipotent power. And so verse 20 says, now unto him that is able. Here's the power of God. God is able to not only do what we ask him to do, he is able to not only do what we even dare to think that he might do. He is able to do, listen to the terms, exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. How can he do that? According to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. He is able. He is able. I know he is able. What a great chorus. Now, if we had time, we would go and reckon with this truth, that while God is able to do anything that needs to be done, because of his plan, his purpose, his wisdom, you and I know this, he is not always willing to do what we ask him to do. He's not always willing. If he is not willing, it isn't because he doesn't love us. It's because he has a perfect plan. It will not be fully unfolded for us until eternity. We walk by faith and not by sight. We dealt with that a few episodes ago. But the challenge of Luke 18 is this. Not if you don't get an answer, just quit and forget it. No, that's not what the Lord Jesus said. He said, pray and pray and pray. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Listen, God cares. Now, I want to put in one more thing. We have just a little bit of time left. What about prayer meeting? What about prayer meeting? Fewer and fewer and fewer people, it seems, go to prayer meeting. Why don't you go? Why don't you go? Say, I can pray on my own. I know you can. But the Bible shows us the gathering together of people for prayer and what power it is. Peter was in prison and the church gathered together for prayer, and God sent an angel and set Peter free. And when he got to the prayer meeting, nobody could believe it was even him. But it was. You never know what God might be willing to do. We bow our head and our heart in submission to him, saying, Lord, I yield to you, to your will, to your plan. You know best. Psalm 18:30, as for God, his way is perfect. I claim that. I rest in that because there's a lot of things I don't understand. But the things I do not understand will not keep me from praying. I pray they won't get in the way of your prayer life. But I also challenge you to gather with God's people in your local church. Pray. If the church is not going to gather for prayer right now with what's going on in this country, I don't know when it will. And you want to be a part of that. Lord bless you till next time.